So good morning on this amazing, for me, amazing February 8th, Tea Touch with Linda and friends. And as you all know, this gathering that we've been having for the last many months is just so enriching to us. And I have invited in to join our group, Cheryl Erickson, who's in Kentucky. And Cheryl is in my horse course, and she has been in my horse course for several times, several different programs that we've done. And Cheryl has an amazing, written a really incredible story that I recommend. It's called Follow Me, Friend. A friend is her horse is her friend, and saved her, got her through her years where life was extremely difficult. And I highly recommend this book. It has 5 stars on Amazon, and it deserves 10 stars as far as I'm concerned, not only from the way she tells her amazing story that is going to be very helpful to many people who are suffering from fear and don't understand the source, but also from the delightful style of writing that she has. And I am a wordsmith, and I just like eat up these words, the way she describes her experience in nature. That's one of the big things for me, and her relationships with her horse and the difficulty she had. So I just wanted to introduce you. And Donna, good morning. Welcome. And Marnie, hi. Welcome. I just introduced Cheryl. Marnie already knows her because Marnie's one of my co-teachers in the horse class. And where are you now? Gina. Gina Andres. It's funny, we've only met once, but I'm going to cry because I feel like that we've known each other forever. And Gina and her husband, Michael, has bought our home. And it's just such a treasure to be able to turn this wonderful spirit of this home over to them. I just couldn't be more excited. And my prayer was somebody would buy it who'd actually live here rather than corporation who would be renting it out. So Gina, welcome. And so we're looking now at leaving a little earlier. I think probably the 23rd is what we're shooting for. I'll know from the moving company today whether we can do it. But as many of you know, we're already more than half packed. And right now, as we speak, Rocky Westlake, who's been packing me to go to Europe for 10 years. We've been packing together now for a month. So we've got all these boxes ready. And so many people say, oh my gosh, packing, moving is such a da-da-da, you know, stress. It's been the opposite, because I have gotten to know the treasures that I have accumulated. And Marnie and Jill, who may join us today, have taken on the task of creating a series of auctions of many of the treasures that I've accumulated that I want to pass on. And so we just last night decided that on my birthday, on June 30th, when I expect to be back in from Europe in Florida 2 days before, we're going to start a process of auctioning. And Marnie's done this before, and there's a professional online live auction company that handles all the money and the sending to people. So it wasn't difficult for me. I had time. I had two other friends who came with me, and we took over a week, like laying out all these things and looking at them. And my friend Sylvia is amazing what she knows about jewelry and jewels and gold and silver and all that stuff. So we're able to identify a lot of it. And that was fun. And then just going through everything and having to list everything that we have in the home and decide what to take. And what happened to me is that we had a few things, like the dolphins that many of you have seen the pictures by our pool. We have a dolphin fountain. and that I bought at least 15 years ago at auction. And then we have another turtle table, this beautiful sculptured turtle that's under a glass table. But nobody knew, could tell me how to take care of them. And so about, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, it had to be at least 15 years ago, Mom and Dad were with us, and somebody said, told me, one of the experts told me, just take clear shoe polish and wax the turtle. Well, what it did was create, gather a lot of dust. And so, and it looked really like, you know, they looked like not a happy turtle, not happy dolphins, because they were dull. And then we were scheduled to close on one date. And I can't even remember what happened. I think we must have been waiting for Gina and Michael to come along, because they just stumbled onto our open house. And so we put it off for a week. And in that week, you all, we were able to gather workmen that we hadn't been able to get before to do several things that I just really wanted to do for the house, to paint my upstairs pantry. And then that was like a really big deal to me to get that painted and beautifully organized. And then the downstairs pantry, we had termite damage. And oh man, I wanted to put in some modern wire. I've seen these really white wire in the new homes in Florida that I visited. And guy showed up and was able to come, because you cannot get contractors here. Everybody's booked out for like 6 months ahead. So anyway, one thing happened after another. And then my friend called and she said, oh, I have this visitor from Brazil. She's a dentist and she's heard about you and she'd like to come and visit and she'd like to come and help you. Oh my gosh, she was such an incredible organizer. And she had the idea, okay, why don't we try orange oil on the turtle and the dolphins? And it just made them look like they just came out of the water. And Gina, I'm going to leave that orange oil for you, and you'll have so much fun, like once a month going over that. It doesn't take like 15 minutes. And then they look like they're still wet. And what it does is just, it made everything sparkle. And yesterday I'm on my weekly call in German language to my practitioners in Europe. And one of them said, Linda, I saw your video. What did you do with all your stuff? Did you just put it aside and hide it as they photographed every room? And if you haven't seen this video, I should have asked Kirsten to pull it up. It's only 1 minute, but the house was actually more beautiful than even it looked in the videos, because every cupboard was cleared out and organized, and many of them packed. And I'd never been able to do that in all the years that I've been here, because I was always on the road and only here, you know, a few months a year. So as you can tell, I'm like, and one of the reasons I wanted to share this with you is that my life at 84 has just been one really, you know, remarkable, amazing gift after another. And the fact that last year I suddenly, you know, at 83, suddenly got hit with Epstein-Barr virus. We all have it, but it really took me down. And autoimmune disease of the thyroid, even though my thyroid was at an okay level, it still was attacking my system. And the other thing was orthoarthritis. And I kept thinking, how is that possible? Because I don't have pain. And most people who have arthritis have a lot of pain. And although some of you know that last year there was a couple of months when if I got down to work on Griffin, I couldn't get up alone. Which is a big deal for those of you who know me. Anyway, I think that I got that, because had that not happened to me, It just seemed like unfair that at 83, I could be in the shape that I have been in and not suffering from what so many people have had to deal with. And how I came through that, there were times when I was really depressed because we were supposed to sell and be out of here 2 years ago, because I knew I had to get more in Europe and I had to be closer in the US. And what I would do, and that's what I really want to talk to you about this morning. There were times when I had to sit down and write my blessings. I have a home over my head. We all have that. I have something to eat. I have a passion in my life, something to share. I have amazing family and amazing group of like-minded people. And we're able to meet together on Zoom. And I had to write my gratitudes, because it wasn't enough for me to think them. And one of the many miracles that happens in my life is that the day we finally decided after 3 months which of the four realtors to go with, all my symptoms disappeared. No more stiffness, no more walking like a 110-year-old, literally. I mean, I could barely sometimes I couldn't force myself to go out. I had to turn Griffin loose on the street, which is a horrifying thought, but he's a survivor and he always came back. And suddenly everything, I wasn't tired anymore. I had all my enthusiasm back. That was the thing that was missing. Why? Because I knew that I was back on track. And I think when each of us can find something that we know how we can make a difference in the world, how we can make the shift. And when I say that, what comes to me, and Cheryl, actually, you made this statement a couple of days ago. It's that inner knowing of intuition. And this definition that many of you have heard multiple times, my favorite definition is this definition from the little book called Intuition by Judy G, G-E-E. And that is, intuition is the manifestation of divine consciousness within you. Within you. Receiving and understanding the messages will change your life and help you find your true path. And in that intuition, as we know, as we have this body of work we call Tellington T-Touch method, we have the really wonderful, clear, logical techniques. And then once we discover ways that we can just connect by putting our hands on our heart and our heart on our animals or ourselves, taking that heart in your hand and recognizing that we have, thanks to HeartMath, amazing research, HeartMath Institute's research, our hearts have more intelligence than our minds. That's a fact. And we all have fear. And that fear, it's in us. I had the really important experience of doing a past life regression with Chris Griscom at the Light Institute in the 80s. And in it, I went into my own body and I saw that every cell in our body holds all of the fear, all of the hatred, the jealousy, we all have it, all of the negative emotions that every being on the planet has had since the beginning of time, this time on the planet. And the fact is, that's just who we are. And we have this opportunity to recognize that. And then when I saw that, I said to Chris, after Chris Griscom, I said, okay, so when we start to release some of our fear, what's left? Love. And this little book, as you know, I've recommended many books, and this little book, Love is Letting Go of Fear, almost everything's packed up, and I thought I had it right here, but you've seen it. Love is Letting Go of Fear by Dr. Jerry Jampolsky. And he's with us, I will tell you. He crossed the Rainbow Bridge just a couple of days after Christmas. And I had the privilege of being a friend of his for many, many years. And this concept that when we have fear, because we all have it, and boy, are we being bombarded with it, with when we listen to the news and when we recognize what's happening around the planet, and to be able to come back into our own bodies and recognize that we're a miracle. Everybody is a miracle. We're all miracles. Why do I say that? What's that got to do with anything? Because our blood flows, because our lymph works, we can speak, our lungs work. How's that possible? We don't have anything to do with that consciously. But that is that source consciousness, that divine consciousness in every cell in our body. And when we move our tissue in this 1¼ circles, which is the same spiral that is in our DNA, we can connect in with that source, incredible wisdom, intelligence in every cell in our body. And that's what we're doing with every 1¼ circles. It's just like a key to unlocking that amazing cellular wisdom consciousness. And I wanted to, how many of you, just raise your hand, read Esther Hicks and Abraham frequently? I don't know if you read it this morning, but it goes along exactly with one of our key philosophies, and that is, if you want to make a change, if you want to change your animal, which most of us are here, brought here often by our animals or ourselves, that we have to change our minds. It's necessary to hold what it is we would like to see, whether it's in, let's take our animals, because that's easier. Are we talking, would we like to change the behavior? Would we like to influence the performance? What about our relationships with our animals? And what about the well-being or health? Or we can say that all to ourselves. If we do, the way for success is to focus on what you want. And what we humans do is we focus on what is. And I'm going to be sharing, this is for today, from Abraham Hicks. And it's, you can just Google it if you don't know it, and you can get it free. It comes to you every day online. My attention to the unwanted cannot defy the law of attraction. If your life has caused you to ask for an improved situation, no matter what it is, it can be your health, it can be whatever, and you are no longer offering chronic thought vibrations. I've got to put my glasses on here a second. Oops, I'm straining a little. And you are no longer offering chronic thought vibrations that are opposite of your desire. In other words, thinking of what's happening now instead of what you want. Your desire must come to you. That is, if you're not doing that, it's a little backwards in saying it. But you cannot continue to keep alive within you vibrational patterns of what you do not want and receive what you do want. That defies the law of attraction. And so how do we do this as part of the Tellington method? We count our blessings. Every time you count your blessings, you override your fear. It's just, you have to practice. I've been practicing this over and over and over since the 80s when that came to me, you know, out of the blue, so to speak, the channeling that I was doing. And so I want to share with you, and then this little book, I'm going to read a little bit out of it. You have heard me talk over and over about Greg Braden, his I can't even think of the name of the book, but something, Biology of Belief. Help me, Kirsten, Marnie. Anyway, it'll come in a moment. But in that book, Sage, do you have it at your fingertips?
I'm looking, Linda. Sorry.
It's okay. Sage is looking. I want to say this again. I'm so into what I'm about to say, I cannot think logically right now.
I don't have it at my fingertips.
Anyway,
is it Divine Matrix?
No, that's another incredible one.
No, but I wasn't sure which one. I'll look. I was doing the other one, but I'll look. Okay.
Yep. Anyway, in that book,
it's The Biology of Belief, Unleashing the Power of Consciousness, Matter, and Miracles. Okay. Right?
Yes. Now, in that book, and that's not the exact title. What is the matter with? Well, I know what's the matter. I should not
test. Spontaneous healing of belief.
Yeah, thank you. It's the spontaneous healing of belief. And I, out of every book, I get one thing that just stays with me and grabs me. And what grabs me out of that book is his definition, from quantum science definition of energy. And that, and as you know, those of you who did the Feldenkrais training, I don't know if you heard that Moshe Feldenkrais, our incredible teacher, being a scientist, would never allow us to use the word energy, because there was no quantum science concept of energy. And this concept that energy is every thought we have, every feeling, every emotion, every word we speak, and every belief we hold, that's energy. And that's what this is talking about. This is what Esther Hicks, and through Abraham, is talking about, is creating our reality, creating our lives. And you can say, oh my God, how am I going to change it? With gratitude. Really simple. Gratitude and forgiveness. Forgiveness of ourselves, forgiveness. And that we do through the Ho'oponopono. But I'm going to stick with this right now, because this little book of Greg's, and he signed this to me when I attended a workshop with him. And this is called Secrets of the Lost Mode of Prayer, The Hidden Power of Beauty, Blessings, Wisdom, and Hurt. And in the introduction, he writes, there are beautiful and wild forces within us. With these words, Sir Francis of Assisi described the mystery and power that lives within every man, woman, and child born into this world. And that's what we can tap into with this basic 1 1/4 gentle circles on our bodies. This basic Tellington T-touch spiral. The Sufi poet Rumi further described the magnitude of that power in comparing it to a great oar that propels us through life. Quote, if you put your soul against this oar with me, he begins, the power that made the universe, that's what we're tapping into, that's what every cell in our body, every cell has that power of the source energy in the universe. That power that made the universe will enter your sinew from a source not outside your limbs. but from a holy realm that lives in us. And I just had this discussion with Cheryl a couple of days ago, the difference between Reiki and T-Touch. And I mean, Reiki has brought so many gifts to the world of opening people to that potential of connecting with that, that every person can do. The difference is, for me, it's about thinking that power is outside of us. And actually, it's in every cell. So blessings on it all. Through the language of poetry, both Rumi and Saint Francis express something beyond the obvious experience of our everyday world. In the words of their times, they remind us of what the ancients called the greatest force in the universe, the power that unites us with the cosmos. Today, we know that power as prayer. Elaborating on prayer, Sir Francis simply stated, the result of prayer is life. Prayer brings us life, he says, because it irrigates the earth and the heart. The bridge to our past is the next heading. Knowledge is the bridge that connects us with everyone who has ever lived before us, everyone. From civilization to civilization and lifetime to lifetime, we contribute the individual stories that become our collective history. And I will tell you from my personal experience, it's not just a collection of the stories, it's collection of experiences that live within every cell in our body, all those emotions, all the people who went through all of the horrendous experiences on this planet. Oh my God. They're within every cell, all the fear that goes with it. Also, that divine spirit is there. And we can choose to practice feeling that. No matter how well we preserve the information of the past, however, the words of these stories are little more than data until we give them meaning. It's the way we apply what we know of our past that becomes the wisdom of the present. For thousands of years, for example, those who have come before us preserve the knowledge of prayer, why it works, and how we may use it in our lives. In massive temples and hidden tombs, through language and customs that have changed very little for at least 5,000 years, changed very little, our ancestors preserved the powerful knowledge of prayer. And Greg Braden had the amazing experiences of visiting up in the highest mountains of Tibet and sitting where those have been preserved. The secret, however, is not found in the words of the prayer themselves. Just as the power of a computer program is more than the language in which it's written, we must search deeper to know the true power that awaits when we pray. It may be precisely that this power that mystic George Gurdjieff discovered as the result of his lifelong search for truth. After years of following ancient clues that led him from temple to village and teacher to teacher, he found himself in a secret monastery hidden in the mountains of the Middle East. There, a great master offered the words of encouragement that made his search worthwhile. You have now found the conditions in which the desire of your heart can become the reality of your being. I can't help but believe that prayer is part of the conditions that Gurdjieff discovered. And one of the things I'd like to share with you, when I was about, I think I was maybe 23, I was going through a really rough patch because my husband was sleeping with another woman in our home. And I had to look for ways to deal with that. Because in those days, divorce wasn't an issue, thank heaven. Because what I learned from that experience was that a person can love more than one person. It's not exclusive. And that I could release that jealousy, and my my requirement with my husband that he could not lie to me, because we know, and that is not a good feeling. And so one of the books that I found was by a follower of Gurdjieff, Uspensky. And one of the things that helped me get through all of that is the words that it's necessary to go through the crystallization of fire in order to hone the soul. So that these going through these hard times and recognizing the gift in it made my life the way it is today. So I want to just I want to read you on page 90 something that gave me the possibility of finding creating a reality. And I'll tell you how I practiced it. I was standing in Italy in the middle of an arena and my phone rang. And normally I don't answer my phone when I'm teaching, but I knew I was supposed to answer the phone. And it's Dr. Janet Varhus out in the mountains in Colorado, who called me and said, my dog is missing. He was old at that time. He had a heart condition. She said, I've done Reiki. I've tried everything. He's not coming back. I said, Janet, just hold that he is totally okay and he's coming back. Hold that. And in that moment, his nose touched the back of her leg. That is creating our reality. And he describes how to do this in this book. And I have done this numbers of times. Now, it's not to do with animal communication, because I completely believe in animal communication. This is a different thing. It's different. It is holding what it is with our heart that we want. And so on page 90, it's just, I usually have these pages that have a big effect on me. Where are you? 90. I have these marked. Got to find it. And I've got to go back and read the rest of this book because I quit reading there. It gave me so much. Oh, dear. Maybe I'm not even supposed to do this. I think we're supposed to go on because, oh, here are the pages I couldn't even find. They're on the side of this book. This is interesting. I'm looking in the top and the bottom. Where are you? Here's 88. Oh, yes, and here I have it marked. Okay. So this is on page 90. The mystery of the space between. There's a power that lives in the space between. That subtle instant when something ends and what follows next has not yet begun. From the birth and death of galaxies, to the beginning and ending of careers and relationships, and even in the simplicity of breathing in and out, creation is a story of beginnings and endings, cycles that start and stop, expand and contract, live and die. Regardless of scale, between the beginning and the end, there exists a moment in time when neither one has fully happened. That moment is where magic and miracles come from. In the instant of between, all possibilities exist and none have yet been chosen. From this place, we're given the power to heal our bodies, change our lives, and bring peace to the world. All events originate from this powerful, magical moment. And when I read this peace to the world, oh, come on, excuse me, but I don't believe we can bring peace to the world, but we can certainly bring peace to our world. And each one of us who chooses to, when we feel the fear or the jealousy or whatever it is, we choose, wait a minute, go to gratitude. Simple, go to gratitude. in that way, each person on the planet, each one of us can make a big difference. Because remember, we affect the energy on the planet. And energy is every thought, every word, every feeling, every emotion, and every belief that we have. And I just, a good example was last week. I wish you all could see it. We have a very large home, and I've moved my office into the back closet. We have a double walk-in closet in our master bedroom. I'm in the back closet. It's a maybe 7 feet by 8 feet. And I just love it because I can open the door and see my dog lying there in the sunshine. And so I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, we've got paintings that we're not taking. They're Hawaiian paintings. We're not taking them, but I want to find out what I paid for them so that I can have a reasonable, you know, expectation. So I'm thinking, okay, I have this wonderful rosewood cabinet, and I always have a drawer, and I had all my receipts from all those years in that drawer, and we've already packed everything. And I'm thinking, I wonder if Rocky could find that. All the boxes are, you know, they're all marked. Could she find them? And I'm sitting here thinking, and my eyes glance down and I see, oh, that's interesting. There's a tray that I put on the floor to go over, and it's covered with a little red blanket. And so I thought, I'm going to look in the tray. All the receipts were there. All the receipts from 24 years. That's creating our reality. I mean, I think they just magically appeared. So I want to inspire us to remember that each one of us, just by choosing our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, not denying them, but recognizing, oh yeah, this is this fear, this is whatever that is, and I choose gratitude. And I choose to leave myself open to the universe, asking, you know, for what it is, how can I best serve? What can I get? And that was my prayer for the place to find someone for our home. That was what I put out. And I don't call it a prayer, but it is, according to these definitions. When we knew that we wanted to have a dog again, I just put out, no, okay, we want to have a dog. He has to be a rescue, has to be small, can't shed, and he has to have something unusual about it. And look what we got, a griffin. And that's what we're putting out for our home. No. It has to have really great place for guests. It has to have offices of both Roland and myself. And it has to have something charming and unusual about it. So you'll want to be there with us. So that's my story. And I would like to just open this. Hi, Jewel and Megan. Good morning. And some of you were not here, I think, on Sunday, and so you didn't get to meet Donna Plank, who's with us, a Feldenkrais practitioner of many, many, many years. And it's just a pleasure to see you here, Donna. And you didn't get to meet Gina. Andre's here. Wave your hand, Gina. And she and her husband have bought our home. And I said, oh, I think it's a shame. Maybe we all could move in here with you. I want to get to know you as well as I feel I know you. And Cheryl is here. And it's just, we have managed to connect over the years. And, oh, wait a minute, where are you? Because I know that we've had past lives and we have much to do together. And Joycey, hi, welcome. You're here. And there you are, Cheryl. So I see down at the bottom, of course, for those, Cheryl, and those are new, is a little thing that says reactions, and you can raise your hand. And Marnie has her hand up. Marnie.
Everybody wants to know what book was the page 90 that you read from. None of us got it.
Oh. Thank you. Secrets of the Lost Mode of Prayer.
I already posted that. I thought it was a different one. Sorry, guys. I already posted that one. So that's the page 90. Okay.
And yes. You said page 90?
Yes, 90.
Thank you.
And the book is posted on the chat.
Yes. It was a toss-up whether I would do that one or read you another part from Uncommon Prayer by Ruth Miller. It's all the weaving of quantum science in creating our reality. And for me, that's creating our health. And that's about coming right back to T-Touch and having that 1 1/4 circle that we can connect to that divine cellular consciousness source, divine spark in every cell in our body. So I would just appreciate this morning any thoughts that you have, any experiences you have that I have maybe inspired from perhaps the fear that we all carry from my experience, which was amazing to see that in my body in the regression. I've done many, many regressions. And I would like to share some of them with you because they have been life-changing and they have inspired me to be really grateful for being in the human body, because there were quite a few years where I was much more conscious of my galactic body coming onto the planet. And the privilege of being in this human body and being aware that we're part of all that is a great gift. So, Becky, hi, welcome. Any thoughts that you have?
Linda, I'll go.
Who's all? Say your name. I can't tell because there are several hands up.
You know what? You go ahead and pick one of the hands because I didn't get my hand up.
That's okay. Who are you?
Becky.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that, you know, sometimes, and I know all of you have experienced versions of this, that there's synchronicity in everything you're saying today because of some work I just did and a workshop I'm getting ready to do this weekend. Absolutely bridged those two things. So thank you for being one of those synchronous people in my life.
Oh, don't you love synchronicity? So Katarina, you were next, and then Sage, and then Cheryl.
I'm going to try to make this as short as possible.
Not necessary.
I want to say we had a profound experience on Friday. And by we, I mean all of you, because you stepped in there with me. I had a lady that I know asked me to do an animal communication session of a woman who couldn't afford it, was in a hard place, and her cat is dying, and she's had a really hard past 2 years. And she also told me that this woman has talked about wanting to end her own life. And so I know going in that she has a sister that takes care of her. She's alone in the house with the cats, but she's not alone in the community. So I gave her a call. I don't know what this woman looks like. I may never know what she looks like. We may never meet. But we started talking about what the cat was asking for. And the woman, how it ever came across, trusted enough to tell me that she thinks about ending her life. And one thing led to another, and we started talking about the miracle of our cells and the potential. And I described as best I could the heart hug. And I felt like everybody was there with me as I was saying it. And I'm not a trained counselor. I'm not any of these things, but I don't even know what's going to happen to her, but her tone changed. She said she felt the peace. She felt the hope, and she felt the miracle. And she felt like she had something in herself that was worth it. And I just, we all came into this forest as we do. you know, as you lead us. So that's it. But it was, it felt incredible. It felt incredible. And like I said, I don't know what's going to happen to her. I don't know her, but we all made this connection for her. And I think it made a difference.
And Katerina, this for Gina and Cheryl and Donna, this concept of very lightly on your heart chakra, on your chest, moving the tissue, starting at the bottom and imagining the face of a clock, and very gently as possible, in whatever direction is you prefer, takes you from that state of hopelessness that a person can get into to a place of peace from the sympathetic fight, flight, freeze, faint, fool around state to the place of the parasympathetic of rest and recovery. And I'm wondering, Katerina, what was the feeling from the cat? Did you have the feeling that the cat knew her role with this woman?
Absolutely. And I know that's why I called, because I know a lot of times when I do have a call, or even when I do a house call, it's about the human, and the animals have asked them to be there. And right. And so, yeah, so this cat definitely had some beautiful things to say for her and calmed her. And I know that set the tone for her to be able to hear.
Yeah. And to feel it, she's not alone. When we recognize the role our animals play in our lives, something happens in the universe. They're all here for a reason. So many people have their animals and don't recognize that. And it's such a gift to, whether that's a cat or a dog or a kid, a rat or bird, it doesn't matter. They are here for us, and they've chosen, and we've chosen them, but unknowingly. Thank you, Katerina. That's so beautiful. Thank you. Sage, you're next, and then Cheryl, and then Ava.
All right, here I am. Good morning and good afternoon. A couple of things are noodling around based on everything that you've been sharing, Linda, and I put one in the chat. Martha Beck's book, Finding Your Own North Star, is totally worth picking up. When you were talking, Linda, about how once you got in alignment with what your purpose was, your body all of a sudden started feeling better. And that's that book is really profound, Finding Your Own North Star by Martha Beck. A couple of weeks ago, I was taking a class with Frank Ostaseski, who was the founder of Zen Hospice. And I'm taking a class called Being with Dying. And one of the phrases that he used was welcome everything and push away nothing. And as you're speaking of this idea of what I would call the shamanic dismemberment of going into the fire, refining ourselves down to gold, down to that pure spirit, We have to welcome everything that shows up, whether it's the anger, the fear, because that's the way through to the light, is to be willing to go through that, what feels dark. And so whenever I'm feeling something that's uncomfortable, I'm happy about it because I know joy's right around the corner. And so that felt important to share. And the other thing, as you're talking about manifesting, I couldn't help but just smile about the house that I'm sitting in right now, where we live, and this manifestation of how we got to where we got. And it was literally James, my husband, and I sitting down and getting really clear about what we wanted. And then I sent an email out to my colleague and friend, Penelope Smith, and I said, hey, we're coming to Prescott, Arizona. I knew you lived there at one point. We're going to be there on Thursday at noon. Let me know, you know, if you can have a cup of coffee. And she wrote back, and I told her, I said, we're looking at moving to the area. She wrote back 2 days later. She said, your timing is impeccable. My renter just gave 24 hours notice. I have a 2-bedroom cottage in the middle of the Prescott National Forest. I'll be there Thursday at 2 o'clock. When are you coming? I said, Thursday at 2. So we literally walked into this home and bought it because we knew exactly what we wanted. It's painted with all these bright colors. Not this wall across from me, but this one, you know, I mean, it's turquoise and it's lime green and it's, you know, fun Santa Fe, Southwest colors as well. But the idea of asking for what you want and then trusting that it will come. And that is also part of that riding wave of that pure spirit, getting in sync with what's already happening. So I encourage you to feel your anger and your fear and your grief and your sadness and all of those things that are so uncomfortable, because the great feelings are around the corner.
Yep, a way through. And could you repeat that? Because I relate to it. I think it's more this idea about the honing it down to the gold rather than Ouspensky in necessary to go through the crystallization of fire in order to hone the soul. It's the going through all that and melting down to the divine spark, the gold that's there.
That's
could
right.
you say that again? Because I love the way you said that.
Well, in my teachings, in my trainings, we're looking at the shamanic dismemberment, which is this process of essentially shedding the ego and moving down into that place of vulnerability and humility and pure love. And so taking apart, I call it Humpty Dumpty. It's like letting yourself fall apart and get put back together again, but being put back together in a new way.
Yeah.
And that's that refining it down to gold. You know, when rocks or gems tumble, they do this together. And so for those of you that are in relationship with anyone, this is what happens until you get refined down to this more beautiful place.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Cheryl, it's your turn. Welcome.
Hi. Let me put my hand down. I don't even know where to start. It's interesting because I had this thing come up, and then all of a sudden everybody, you know, what Katarina was saying and what Sage was saying, and it's all like resonating with me, which is really a good kind of overwhelming. But what I wanted to start with, the reason I put my hand up, is something that you said, Linda, which reminded me of something that you said when we had our conversation a couple of days ago, and I wrote it down. But just to give everybody else who hasn't read the book, read my book, to an idea of what I'm going to say, I'm trying to put this as short as I can. There was a part of me that I referred to as Mean Cheryl, and she was the negative part, the fear, the anger, and all of those things, that negative self-talk. And she was a brutal, like self-harm, a lot of really not great stuff. And I've been able to integrate that part back into me, so I don't think of her as a separate, you know, entity anymore. But what Linda helped me realize and what reminded me is that she can still, like, she's still there because she was always a part of me. And just because she's not hitting and yelling and screaming and trying to kill me anymore doesn't mean that fear can't still interfere with what I'm trying to do. Anyway, so that was what I'm working on a sequel to the book. And so I wrote down real quick to remember to write about how Mean Cheryl can still affect my life through fear, even if she's not hitting and yelling. And so that was the part that I wanted to share. But then where Katarina was talking about the cat and the animals and how, and Linda, how the animals can, like, they're there for a reason and to help and to be there. And I think of my horse, Farletta, and that's been her. I'm on this journey that's been going on now for about a year and a half. And it starts, well, it's been going on longer than that. It always comes back to her, to my horse. Her name is Farletta, and there'll be something that happens with her that makes me look at myself. And she leads me on this path to finding all these amazing people and these amazing opportunities. And that's how I ended up here. And that's just anyway, that was really significant to me. And just kind of being there and being, like what Sage was saying, being open and ready for what's coming next. And while you were talking about that, Sage, I was thinking about something that happened. I'm in a big kind of a shift in my life right now, where I'm kind of going from this person that I was and trying to step into this person that I actually have always been, but have been afraid of. And September 29th last year, I was walking. It was 2 days before I quit my job, which was like the terrifying thing that I've done is to step away from this job. And I was walking on the farm that night, and I had this idea in my mind, this voice, which I get a lot, said, remember this night, remember this date, because a year from now, you're not going to believe how different your life is going to be. And so anyway, it makes me emotional, but that's kind of what I've been doing this year. And every time an opportunity like this comes up, even though it's like really uncomfortable, and normally for me to stand here in front of a bunch of people I don't know and say all this stuff, I've just been like, okay, opportunity, okay, I'll take it. And that's what I've been doing, and it's been amazing. So anyway, thanks for listening to that.
So Cheryl, with Mean Cheryl, when we've been talking about it in our conversations in the last week, what I wanted to say to you, but it wasn't time. And now it is time. And that is, with Mean Cheryl, there's another little door I'm going to open for you. And that is, it's the Hawaiian prayer of forgiveness called Ho'oponopono. And we'll talk about it later. I've talked about it a lot in this course, and it's just so, it's so beautiful, and it's so simple. And there are two books in my book list that I sent you. Take a look at those two and decide which one you want, and I will send it to you. One is very simple, beautiful, just gives you the ways to do it, the basic four things. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Thank you. I love you. And you can say that in whatever ways you want, whatever order you want. And it's very simple and it's beautiful. I've read it over and over. And then there's another one called The Book of Ho'oponopono, and that is by Dr. Luke Boudin. And it gives all of the connections why that Hawaiian prayer of forgiveness that has gone around the world, why it works, through quantum science and heart math, all of that. And I think that's the book for you, but you have to make that decision, and then I will send it to you. Thank you for your courage to share for the first time in the group. I know it's a great gift. Thank you. And her book, for those of you who came in late, has 5 stars on Amazon, and I highly recommend it. I finished it last night and I was like, what? It's the end, because I just love the way you told your story. And I love the words that you use, the wordsmithing. So it's called Follow Me, Friend by Cheryl Erickson.
Thank you.
Eva. You're muted. Eva is in Israel, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very touched, and you know, very sensitive to everything that you have been sharing, everybody has been sharing. And I feel in a very, like Sage was saying, you know, falling apart, you know, and uneasy, like having a hard time dealing with myself and my environment, and like everything is too narrow for me, and you know, having a hard time with that. And on another hand, something very beautiful happened, that I'm very grateful for, and for you and Eleanor, and the Saturday session that has been so strong for me. And the sharing you made of this woman who could not walk, and then suddenly she reappeared in her life, in your life, and she's walking and riding her horse and everything. And you asked what happened, and actually it was an FI or T-touch, whatever you did to her. And after that, she started walking, and you said something so beautiful. You said, you know, you just believed in the creativity of the cell, or if the that the body is just so perfect, in the perfect ability of the body and of it. And it touched me very deeply. And the next day, or 2 days later, I have one of my students who came for an FI. And as soon as she walked in, I could see she had sciatica, she could barely walk. And before, I would not touch someone with sciatica. I would say, you know, okay, I cannot, I can make things worse, and you need, you know, it's too delicate, and I don't take people in crisis. It's I do more prevention, but not in a crisis like that. And here she came and she said, I know you will do something for me. She was like, well, and she lay down, and I did it all in T-touch. You know, all T-touch, and I could remember your words, and I'm so grateful for repeating and repeating and repeating the same information with different words and different, because I need that. And I'm still not so into it in my mind and aware, but I knew, you know, I had your words, and I connected with her, and I did the craft things, and I invented, and she got out of it. She was walking, and she didn't feel the pain, and I was like, wow. And like what I would do before, I would be so proud of myself. So, no, I took it like that, you know, with gratitude, and not, oh, I did something. And I must thank you for all of this, because although it's so far away from me and my way of thinking, and I'm still struggling with all that, everything you're talking about, like the falling on a different planet, which I said from the beginning. And then suddenly, well, I don't know where I stand, but this FI was very, you know, I don't know what to say. I was very touched, and that I'm learning that, although I don't understand it yet.
That's so beautiful. And the thing is that all I did with Lise, and I had no idea that I affected her. It's not like she got up out of a power wheelchair and walked. I saw her, I can't remember, Marnie, how many, 2 or 3 years ago, later, she drove herself with a 4-horse rig and a stallion in the back from her ranch in Oregon alone to Texas, where Marnie was organizing a clinic. And I mean, I said to her only a couple of days ago, because it's because of her that I'm going to Jupiter Farms, and she's going in and filming the houses every day that are coming on the market for me to look at. I had no idea that I affected her, because all I did was put my hands on her legs and just do these beautiful 1 1/4 circles, not with the feeling that there's something wrong with her legs at all, just just recognizing the wow factor in this cellular intelligence, and thinking of Bruce Lipton, Dr. Bruce Lipton, and this concept of cell communication. When the limbs don't work, or when you've got sciatica, it's like the communication is there, but all you have to do is put your hands on and do these T-touches as you did, this 1 1/4 basic circle, giving the message of, wow, this this works. This feel it. Feel it. Feel all that's working, not that it isn't working. And that we can, Ava, put our hands on somebody, even with major problems, tumors, all that stuff, because we don't work with that. We work with it gently, talking to the encouraging, the supporting, the communication between the cells, this amazing part of our body. So thank you. The sharing was so beautiful that you did. Thank you. And yeah, it takes a while to get it. I'm still getting it. So, I mean, I'm just in this state of wonder, you know. So we're going to now take our 10-minute break. And then when we come back, Karen, I will we'll take you. And then I'm going to lead you all into the forest. And we're going to connect. And we'll see. I don't know until we get in there what's going to happen. So it's 10 after, at 20 after, wherever you are. We'll come back together, and I'll stop this recording so that you, those of you who like to listen to it again, you can hear it hour by hour. So we will stop the recording.